Fat boy.
You know we had to do a podcast, right?
What's your name, fat body?
Yeah, of course, you're a looking food. What the hell?
I'm going to eat it.
You owe me for one jelly donut.
Fat motherfucker.
Listen to it. My wife said no one did a lot
to us. I've got bigger titties than you did.
Bullshit, because nobody fucking had geese back at that point for a bigger guy.
I'm not everyone's cup of tea, but I might be somebody's shot of whiskey.
You can't think about, hey, I need to lose 100 pounds. You think about winning that day.
Fucking, I want a cheeseburger and a milkshake. Yo, what's up, Fatleets, and welcome to episode 31 of the Fatboy Jiu-Jitsu Podcast. This episode is sponsored by Combat Night. On April 7th, 2018... Combat Night brings you the best in live MMA right here in Central Florida. Go ahead, go to their website, combatnight.com. Give them a like on Facebook, on Twitter, and on Instagram. And right now, up until April 7th, Combat Night is offering you guys a discount code. You have 10% off anything on the Fatboy website. Just put in Combat Night at checkout. So what's up, guys? I know left last time telling you guys I was gonna register for the CrossFit Open, and I did. And I did 18.1, and I did that was one hell of a workout to come back to start doing CrossFit again. And let me tell you, when I was in my garage and I had my weight set up, my rower, and, you know, the jump rope and whatnot, I would always like, oh yeah, I'm going to do like a CrossFit workout, whatever. There's nothing like doing it in front of, you know, 100 people, 50 people, 60 people. However many people were there. We actually, at our CrossFit gym, we do something called Friday Night Lights. And during the open, every Friday is when you can do it beforehand if you want on Thursday or right after they announce the workouts on Thursday or Friday morning. But typically Friday nights from like 4 or 5 on, they just put on heats. So they kind of stop the normal classes and they just put on heats Friday, like a couple hours on Saturday, and then anybody who wants to redo it on Sunday. So Friday night, you have everybody who's doing the open usually stays there, hangs around, cheering everybody on. I mean, it's an amazing feeling having everybody there, and it's also nerve-wracking. And it's not nerve-wracking that anybody makes you feel it. It's nerve-wracking just because you yourself, like, I think about, damn, I gotta do this workout in front of all these people, and they're there to cheer you on, but just, I get in my own head and think, oh man, like, they're watching me. But there's, once you're done, it feels so amazing to have everybody there just know how well you did, or, you know, that fucking, you did the best that you could, you know, and that's all that anybody wants. That's, you just put it all out there and you give it your all. So for 18.1, and for those of you who don't know the workout, it was, I had to do it scaled because I was trying to do a toe to bar, could not do the toe to bar. So the prescribed workout was 10 toe to bars and 14 calorie row. And for male scale division, it was 10 knee raises and a 14 calorie row. Well, The knee raises I can do. I can't, for the life of me, I can't figure out how to do a toe to bar. And I'm actually so freaking close. It's, for some reason, I keep on trying to pull myself, as in it's a pull up, thinking if I pull myself, my little midget sticks of legs can touch the bar, but that's not going to happen. And the motion of, I guess, the toe to bar is you push yourself out while holding on to the bar, and then you bend at the waist. Something I still have yet to get down. But hopefully I'll get a toe to bar by the end of the year. That's that's a movement that it's that's going to be a huge improvement for me, that the fact that I'll be able to do one. So anyways, back to 18.1. I ended up doing 229 reps. So every rep, obviously, every rep of the knee raises counts as a rep, and every calorie counts as a calorie for the rows. Ended up being seven full rounds and five knee raises. And that put me at 229 reps, which in the Southeast region for men 35 to 39, I am overall ranked 2508 over 2787. So 2508 over 2787 people. And worldwide, I am 40,333 over 44,558. Putting me right there at the bottom 10% of people. But I'm not surprised. I have not been working out. I thought I'd be ranked better. Thinking, like I said last time, you know, shit, 250 so pound Juan should be better than a fat 300 pound Juan. And apparently not. So I just want to finish in a better position than I did in 2015. And I'm not looking for, you know, rank to rank, because now it's, I think they do the rankings a little bit different. Because of the 35 to 39 age bracket. But I just want to be percentile better than I was last time. And I only have three workouts left. This past Friday did 18.2, and 18.2 consisted of the rounds were dumbbell squats and bar facing burpees. And it was 1, then 2, then 3, all the way to 10. So it's technically 110 reps all together. 55 dumbbell squats, 55 bar facing burpees. My dumbbell was, I also had to do this workout scaled. Man, I was trying to do this prescribed. The prescribed weight was a 50-pound dumbbell. And I just couldn't keep it up. My one arm, my right wrist, which is the wrist I had the surgery on a couple years ago, I probably can, just not confident. And I tried taping it up, having a wrist wrap. It was not happening. Couldn't hold it. So instead of opting and doing, you know, just one or two reps to do the scaled to rank better, I said, let me do the workout completely. Let me get back. 18.2 is set up. So you do dumbbell squats, bar facing burpees. You have a 12-minute time cap. If you finish within those first 12 minutes, you have the remaining of the 12 minutes to bust out a one rep max clean. If you fail to complete the workout, you don't have to do the cleans. You don't get to do the cleans. Your punishment for not finishing is not doing the clean. And so you have two things you want to do. You want to get to do the clean. So you want to do the workout as quick as you can. But you also want to be able to clean as much as possible, because that's the tiebreaker if you and some another athlete have the exact same time. So I ended up finishing 18.2 and 11.04, and I hit a ginormous, horrible 115 clean. I tried right after for 135. Wasn't happening. And yes, I know those are, it's a 115 clean is not a lot. It's actually very weak, but I guess, that's just something else to work on, to raise up all my lifts. And as a matter of fact, my lifts are, they all feel different, and it's because I've lost so much weight that I have to relearn the lifts. My body mechanics has completely changed, from what I remember. Case in point, cleans. Cleans, I used to have to, I had taught myself to bump the clean, not at my hips, but further below the hips, because my belly used to hang so low that if I would pop at my hips, the bar would legit just graze the bottom of my belly and I wouldn't be able to complete the lift. So I would actually pop mid to high thigh is where I taught myself how to pop the weight on over and to clean. And now, how do I put this? When, you know, most of my body has gotten smaller, so I pop, if I try to pop there, I'm actually intentionally hitting myself somewhere where it doesn't feel so good. It's actually quite painful. So I have to kind of just relearn everything. And for those that are wondering, my previous one rep max clean was 165, which is, I mean, it's only 50 pounds heavier than what I just did, but it's still 50 pounds. So besides that, I don't know if you guys saw, but I was actually lucky enough to go to last weekend to the UFC Orlando at the Amway Center. And man, what a freaking card that was. That was an awesome card. What I don't understand is how some people don't go and enjoy the entire card. It's still, man, so many people have this whole boxing thing and they don't show up until halfway into the night. And it's so crazy. Some of the best fights were the undercard. As usual, these undercard guys, they bring it. And one of my favorite fights was Albert Morales versus Manny Bermudez. It was should have been the first fight past prelim. The jiu-jitsu transitions were awesome. My man ended up giving up a guillotine, but it was pretty spectacular. My man Manny Bermudez, he came out to just the two of us. It was hilarious. Now I'm talking about fights that are over a week old, because last night, didn't I see any of the fights last night? I had a Cub Scout camp out with, obviously, with my son and my nephew. And it wasn't so much of a camp out as more of a bring your tent out to our church. We're going to set them up in the back and we're going to sleep there. So first of all, I'm like, it's not a real camp out. I'm not necessarily packing like I normally do for, you know, for all the campouts and, you know, bring. I wasn't going to bring my my bed. I have, so when my son started the Cub Scouts, right, camping's a big part of Cub Scouting. And it's not that you have to go, right? It's encouraged. So knowing that I would be going camping and, you know, being at that time over 350 pounds, it was like 370, 380. Sleeping on the floor was like not going to happen. And there's not many cot makers who make cots for people that are over, you know, close to 400 pounds. However, I have found a few now on Amazon and eBay. They seem pretty legit. There's one of them. They got like 8-9 people sitting or standing on this one cot. Now, even if it's just for that photo, it's pretty legit that it actually stood. So what I ended up doing, because I didn't want to find a cot, and I was like, I didn't want to sleep on a cot, right? Cots aren't really that comfortable. So I ended up finding this Coleman air mattress. And it's an elevated air mattress. So you just put this air mattress in this little bed sheet type thing that's sewed on to this cot, basically. Well, while it's great, the problem with that thing is it's noisy as shit. You hear the air mattress every time you move. But the weight limit was like 600 pounds. And I go, oh, shit, that's great. Me and Uriah, that's not 600 pounds. No way. I prided myself that, you know, I can sleep on there with my son and we'd be nowhere near the weight limit. I was wondering when they were going to say, hey, I told them, I go, it's going to get cold tonight, so if you guys want, we can go home and I'll just come back in the morning to pick up my shit. No, they wanted to stay, and we stayed, and it was great. However, it did not feel great for me. It was great. It was a great experience. It was great taking them on their first camping trip. They had fun. Even though it wasn't a real camping trip, you know, it was legit. They just got happy they got to sleep in a tent. They've never done that before, and they were happy. They didn't like helping set up the tent or take it down, but they love sleeping in it. The worst thing about sleeping in a tent while it's cold, on the floor, on top of some sleeping bags and some comforters, is that you are outside in a tent, sleeping on the floor, on some sleeping bags and the comforter. My body, and I don't know if it's 100% because of the 18.2 workout I did Friday night, but I am just incredibly sore and everything hurts. I legit just want to blame the workout, but I know half of it's got to be me sleeping on the floor. So after I completed 18.1, I was, first of all, incredibly beat, right? But after, man, I felt good. My body was just pumping out endorphins and I was feeling amazing. And it was a feeling that for some reason, even if I worked out in my gym at home, in the garage, but I never got that. I never got that feeling. And, you know, that kind of made me feel really good and want to get back into doing CrossFit like every day, at one point I was, and hopefully I can schedule that in. I know it's not going to be as easy as I used to go, you know, every day at 6 o'clock in the morning, I would go and then, you know, on jiu-jitsu days, it'd be, okay, I'm just going to do the strength portion and then do jiu-jitsu right after. I don't know if it's going to be able to work out like that now with, you know, with our new schedules and whatnot. But I'm going to try as much as possible. The following story may have allegedly happened, and it may have allegedly happened to a friend of mine who will remain nameless to protect the innocent. So this idiot, you know, he also runs a gi company. And he ships out gis, and, you know, he may have a wife and two kids and works a pretty demanding day job. So when it comes to having to ship gis, he usually does this at night. Now, he's gotten smart, and, you know, click and ship is awesome, and, you know, he can purchase and pay for shipping, and all he has to do is drop packages off later. That's easy. That's the easy work to do. So one night, this guy goes, and he was, he thought he'd be, you know, like fucking Betty Homemaker, and he put a keto casserole in the oven, and it was a keto egg casserole, like 12 egg yolks and some whipping cream, put a bunch of veggies and meats and stuff, and it's a nice little casserole to have when you want something to eat, a snack. So he knows that, you know, this is going to be in the oven. Everybody at home is asleep. It's 10:30 at night. Pops this thing in the fucking oven. Says, okay, well, it takes me about 10 minutes to get to the post office. It takes 10 minutes to get back. By the time I get back, it'd be 20 minutes. I only have about 10 minutes left on this casserole. We just could take it out. Drives to the post office. And he walks in, all, you know, leaves the car running. I just said, oh, I'm going to run in, run out. Runs in, drops the package, gets in the car, puts the car in reverse, looks over the passenger seat. The shipping label for the ghee is sitting on the passenger seat. The ghee is now made it into the post office. How the fuck is that label gonna get on that ghee? So he runs back in there, and there's this lady that's on the kiosk, and I go, what the he goes, what the fuck? How the fuck am I supposed to get this? Now, thankfully, this was one of those older tumblers where it didn't have the thing to protect what happened to or prevent what happened to happen. This lady tries to help him, and they kind of make it worse. They used what the fuck are those damn things? Those danger signs, the wet floor, to try to pull the package because of where it was sitting, to pull the package to them. It wasn't happening. And the package ended up falling further into the cart of packages that was there. Now, I don't know how anybody else's post office are set up, but this one is set up to where there's a little level change between where you drop the packages and where the packages actually get dropped into the carts. So in my man's infinite wisdom, he waits for the lady to leave because they weren't getting anywhere. Now, mind you, 15, 20 minutes has already passed. So this casserole is fucking about to burn. Stressing himself out, he said, fuck, I gotta get out of here. and he shimmies himself down the package chute. And it's not a long package chute, but the drop is, the distance is about a 2-3 foot drop difference. So while trying to hold on with his feet, kind of shimmies into the tumbler, grabs a package, pulls the package out of the clutches of the of those people who have it, and probably committed allegedly some felonies. Who knows? And I guarantee you, it was 100% caught on film, seeing as the camera was 3 feet from him. Yeah. So that sucks. But he's so afraid of the consequences that he showed the camera. Look, there's no fucking label on here. Stuck the label to the thing. Because like I said, it was already printed. Stuck it on the package. Stuck the package right back down the chute. There he went. Went home. And guess what? His casserole didn't even burn. How fucking lucky is that? It was, from what I was told, it was very stressful. Yeah, the whole ordeal took about 45 minutes at the post office. But I think he learned from his mistake, and I don't think he's going to make that mistake anymore. I would hope somebody sees this video and, you know, puts it out there, because that'd be fucking hilarious. Because I know he fought with that damn thing for a while. Other than that, what? I have right now the biggest nostalgic moments, and I'm loving it. I don't know if I mentioned this, but I ended up picking up a 93 Volkswagen Passat. Now, I don't need another car, obviously. I already have the other project car. But I picked up this one so I can take the motor out and swap it to the Cabrio. Once I picked this car up, I realized, damn, it's a 25-year-old fucking car, but it's in actually pretty decent shape. And I have such an affinity for Volkswagens that I'm like, man, I don't want to rip this fucking car, this motor apart yet. I don't want to, you know, like, destroy this fucking car. It's a 25-year-old car, and my power windows still work. All of them. The pneumatic locks. The pneumatic locks on a 25-year-old Volkswagen still work. I got a buddy who owns a 2001 Audi S4. It's a Vag product. But it has the same pneumatic locks. Shit doesn't work. The fucking pneumatic locks on this 25-year-old Volkswagen still work. How I couldn't for the life of me take and rip this car apart just yet. Still gonna happen. I just don't know when. I do know when for now. For at least a year. Cause that's what the insurance is paid up for. And that's probably gonna at least a year while I get this other thing working. But the reason why I was so nostalgic is the steering wheel, the shifter, everything feels, the car even smells. I mean, there is a 90s era car smell that most people, if you smell it, if you owned a car in the 90s, if you started driving in the 90s and you had that car smell, it doesn't matter the air freshener, whatever, the smell of whether it's the leather, the vinyl, the plastics they use. There's a distinct smell in most 90s cars. And most 90s cars, doesn't matter where, it's the same smell. It's shit, that basically old car smell, okay? And the steering wheel, you know, just a nice little Volkswagen logo on the steering wheel. And my first vehicle was a Volkswagen Quantum. It was an 85 Quantum. And it was a fucking 5-cylinder. I loved that damn car. The only thing that I hated about that car is it would not restart when it was warm. The fucking car would only start on cold starts. It would not restart on a hard start. So if you were going to run in somewhere and run back out, you better leave that fucker running. Otherwise, you're going to sit there for a while until that bitch gets cold enough to start again. And there were plenty of day where we had gone to the mall, gone somewhere, and said, fuck. We're sitting in the car just waiting for the car to cool down to start right back up. Anyways, I'm driving this thing around, this old-ass car, and I know I'm getting some fucking crazy looks, but I got the windows down, I got the radio loud, and I am just loving driving around this fucking VR6-powered Passat. And while it, you know, still has the factory mufflers, factory everything, this fucking car is factory as shit. You know, I cannot enjoy the sound of a VR6 just yet, but the fact that I have it and I'm driving it around, I'm loving every fucking second of it. It's I don't know, it's actually really, it fucking feels really cool. And it's the craziest thing, because it's an old ass fucking car. Nobody wants this fucking thing, you know, but it's just something to me that I just, you know, I'm a big fucking Volkswagen head. And it's, first of all, it's a motor that I've always wanted to toy with in the Volkswagen. That VR6 motor has always been something intriguing. It's a very distinct motor. It has a very distinct sound. Very amazingly distinct sound. And it's, it sounds great. So anyways, guys, I'm actually going to go right now and drive this bitch around the block. So peace out. Tell me what you guys thought about Black Panther. I watched it. I loved it. Wakanda forever, y'all.